Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? Good? Yeah, it's a little bit cooler right now than it was last week, so we'll see what happens because we're still in kind of a closed space. We're going to look at some really interesting things tonight. Next week is the biggie week, you know, when the monsters and the beasts come out of the water and come up to the land and they have 7 heads and 10 horns and all that stuff. So you don't want to miss that, but we're not quite there yet. So tonight we're going to be talking about some very interesting things and the trumpet judgments. And anyway, let us start in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we have the ability to get together, to be in your word, Lord. Thank you for the freedom in this country to do that tonight, Lord. We don't know that our freedom is going to last, but Lord, tonight we can meet here and we can get in your word and we can hear what you have to say to us, Lord. I thank you for each person who's here, and I pray, God, that our hearts would be open and in tuned to hearing you. And we just ask this in your name. Amen. All right, I just wanted to, I know I haven't said anything about the so-called classwork. These were designed just to help you, if you take some notes, you know, while we're talking about the different chapters. So it's just something to facilitate a learning process. And then I'm sure you've noticed at the bottom of the square here, those are all the verses that I've referenced for each of the different classes. And then tonight we're going to be talking about the timeline. I know we haven't even touched that yet. So tonight we'll talk about that. So make sure you have one of those. They were at the table back there. So if you need one, I'm sure there's more. All right, let's think back. Well, what in the world is going on? Let's think back to 2018. Ah, 2018. It was a wonderful year. Kids were in school. Mom and Dad were working. We were living our lives like we had done for years. We were going out to dinner and going to the movies. It was a wonderful year. The market shelves were always stocked with food. Who would have ever thought that they would not have food on them? And toilet paper was in abundance. It was a wonderful year. Then we started hearing, and our refrigerator was packed with food. Then 2019 came around, and we started hearing little rumors around the world that this virus thing was coming, and we got more nervous and more nervous. And oh no, before you know it, America had become dark. It had come to America. And what was it called? Coronavirus, yes. Now, everything changed. We had to stay inside our homes. We were mandated to stay inside our homes. Kids stayed home from school. In fact, I think I have, let's see. Yeah, okay, the shelves were empty. Did any of you go shopping and see empty shelves? I want to say Kmart. Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. No, Walmart. Walmart had shelves looking like that. Who would have ever guessed that? Kids, the poor kids were in their pajamas trying to go to school, not being able to ask questions, not being able to figure out what in the world is going on. So they were detrimentally hurt, harmed. We had this thing that we had to wear over our face. It was mandated. We learned what the term N95 was. I never knew that before. We had to come to church. Our church tent was red and white. Do you remember that? We started, you know, watching online, and then we were allowed to go into the tent. That was quite an experience. And every single toilet paper roll in the world disappeared. And it was a highly coveted item, yes. And we learned a new phrase called social distancing. Then 2020 came along. And everything changed again. And we realized that it is never going back to what it was before. Can you agree with that? Yeah. Things have changed. Millions of people died. And we were just not going back. And that helped us to see a little glimpse of what it will be like during when the tribulation starts, when the rapture happens, and millions of people have disappeared, things have changed. And from that point on, it's going to be very, very difficult living on the earth. Our refrigerators were also empty because there was no food. So the rapture happened. That was the rapture. People on the earth started crying for, are going to be crying for help after the rapture. There's the help. And many, many people will come to the Lord because there could be pastors left behind. There could be people who knew, you know, the things that their grandma taught them, the things that, they had heard in church. They will realize that that was a God thing. So many people will repent, but most will curse God when these things happen. So at least right now, we still have a choice, but we realize that the world is quickly going to a place where it's going to be changing and it's not going to go back to the way it was. So the world forever is changed. So last week, we saw the throne room of God. Remember, John was called up to the throne room. We saw that Jesus was the Lamb of God, who is the only one who was worthy to open the scroll. And can somebody answer the question, why was it only Jesus who was worthy to answer the to open the scroll? Oh, come on. Thank you. He was the only one who could open the scroll because he was sinless, he was pure, he was holy, he wasn't tainted. He was a Lamb of God. And then we also saw the seven seal judgments and what happened to those people who are left behind. We also learned what happens to the Christians after those who become Christians, what happens to them after the rapture. And then we also talked about the 144 Jewish evangelists and the two witnesses that Jesus had. And we'll talk a little bit more about them also. So tonight, we are going to focus on the seven trumpet judgments and three woes. We're going to look at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist in the tribulation, in the temple. What will happen? There's the Antichrist in the temple. What will happen to the Jewish believers who are left on the earth? And three preaching angels, and we'll talk about what they will, what they have seen. So tonight we're in Revelation 8, 9, 11, and 14. All right, so let's pray again. Father, just open our hearts. Help us to understand clearly what you have to say to us. And we thank you so much, Lord, that your word is true and alive, Lord. So guide our conversations now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so look at your timeline. These are not in exact order because there is nothing that's in exact order. We do know that the trumpet judgments come after the seal judgments, and we know that the bowl judgments come after the trumpet judgments. But, you know, just you can't take this saying, well, that can't happen because this paper says this. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we don't know the timing for in the book of Revelation. But here's the rapture of the church. That's the first thing that happens. That does not start the tribulation, but it's a wonderful sign that things are going to be happening. Then, when a seven-year treaty is confirmed with the Antichrist in Israel, that will be the start of 7 years. And we'll talk about what the 7 years are in just a little bit. All right, so we understand the rapture is the catching away. Let me get my slides here. Tribulation timeline. Catching away. Okay, why 7 years? In the book of Daniel, Daniel 9:27, it talks about the 70th year, or 70 weeks are determined for Daniel's people, which would be the Jewish people. And then each, I don't want to get all into that because it gets confusing along the way. 7 years is left to be completed in this prophecy. It says, then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That it translates into 7 years, because 1 week is a year in the Bible. But in the middle of the week, so in the middle of the 7 years, so at 3.5 years, he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So we know that the tribulation is 7 years because of this, plus there's other verses too that talk about that in Daniel. So just know that the tribulation is 7 years. All right, so here's our timeline. So pretend like that blue line is 7 years. At the very beginning, before you even touch the timeline, the rapture has happened. Here's another way to look at it. So the saints are raptured all over the world. All right, the Holy Spirit, think about this. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? All right, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. So if all of these believers have been taken up, the Holy Spirit is still on the earth, but he's the restraining power against evil and sin has been taken away. So sin is going to run rampant when the saints are taken away. So the Holy Spirit is the one who right now is keeping evil at a minimum. And when he steps away, it's going to be a terrible world. So it's definitely changed from even what it is right now. So the world will be in chaos. Chaos will be worldwide. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit has been lifted. Evil will be unrestrained. And many will come to the Lord. So that's a wonderful thing to know, that even after the rapture, you can still get to heaven because God is still there. He's still calling people to himself. So going back to our little timeline. All right, so we have the rapture of the church. The next thing that happens after that, whether there is a number of years, a number of months, a number of days or hours, we don't know. The treaty is going to be signed by the Antichrist and at least Israel. There may be other nations in there. And so the tribulation is broken up into two segments, the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. The second 3.5 years are worse than the first 3.5. And so that at that midpoint area, so we're calling that the Great Tribulation. So you have the tribulation, Great Tribulation. And at the end of 7 years, and you can count that from the day the treaty is signed until the time Jesus is going to come back to the earth for the second coming, that's going to be exactly 7 years. So Jesus will come back at the end of the tribulation. So we've got the saints being raptured and the treaty signed starts the tribulation. And then the Jewish temple will be rebuilt somewhere. I know some of you have probably been to Israel and you've gone to Temple Institute. Temple Institute is an organization that has made everything that they need to start the temple. They have blueprints of the building. This is the breastplate that they've made for the high priest. You know, remember the high priest would wear the breastplate that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. They even have the red heifers. Now, red heifers are a cow. For years and years, the Jews need a perfect red cow in order to sacrifice. They have to have, it has to be so many years old, a certain age, and it can't have any white hairs on it at all. It has to be perfect, because that animal, according to the Old Testament, needed to be sacrificed, it needed to be burned up, and then it was used in the purification process of the priests and the temple. So red heifers weren't found anywhere until just a couple years ago. Somebody had the idea to go to Texas because they raised cattle there. And lo and behold, a cattle rancher said, oh, I've got some heifers, some red heifers. So they sent these red heifers over to Israel. They were little baby calves. And the high priests or the priests, the people who work, you know, getting ready to get the temple set up, they kept checking these cows, basically. And so far, so good. We've got some red heifers in the making. And candlesticks, they have everything that you need to start at the temple where the Jews can come back and worship. The only thing that you don't have is the land where the temple used to stand. And that's where the mosque and the Dome of the Rock is. But everything else is ready to go. We do know that the Jewish temple will be rebuilt because at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will come into the temple and he'll do what's called the abomination of desolation. And we'll talk about that in a couple slides from now. All right, and then also at the beginning of the tribulation, 144,000 Jewish men are sealed by God. And I was reading it this morning. It talks about these men. There's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12 times 12,000 makes 144,000. And God gives his seal to an angel, and the angel seals all of these men on the forehead with the seal of God. I thought that was really cool, because we know that down the road, the Antichrist will want to seal people who are going to be worshiping him. So anyway, God has sealed these 144,000 Jewish men, and they are sealed so that they can go out and proclaim the gospel to the Jews and other people. And that seal gives them protection while the tribulation is going on. They cannot be killed or harmed. Okay, any questions so far? Nope. Okay. So the 144,000, can you imagine? That's a huge group of Jewish men that will be sealed and sent out into the world. What that tells me is that God is not willing that anybody should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he's going out of his way to preach to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So 144,000. And then we have the two witnesses. The two witnesses are probably Moses and Elijah. Moses, because he represented the Old Testament, the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. So you have the law and the prophets. That God talks about that a lot, the law and the prophets. We don't know exactly that those are of them. They could be some new men, but that's a guess as well. We know that these two witnesses preach in Jerusalem for 3.5 years. We know that there are seal judgments that are the first judgments that happen to the earth. The first judgment was John saw a white horse that represented who? Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be with a 10-nation confederacy. So somehow the world will probably be broken up into 10 segments. I know over in Europe, I forget what the name of it is. It's probably the brothers of 10 nations or something. Anyway, they have already drawn lines around a globe, breaking the globe up into 10 different pieces. I mean, things are getting set up. That's the takeaway, people. Okay. The second seal was a red horse, and that represented war. Mm-hmm. And people were killing each other on a massive level. The third seal was the black horse, which represented famine or, things were harder to buy, find, things to keep you alive and healthy. And that's probably because of the war. You know, when you have war, you have economic problems. The pale horse is the last horse that he sees, and that represents death, and Hades follows him. And a fourth of the population dies. There's plagues, and am I missing these things? I am here. We'll come back to that one in a minute. Remember the pale horse, they were going to be dying. People were going to be attacked by wild beasts. That's what the Bible says. So that's not a happy place to be either. Another interesting thing, we're going to go back just a bit here about this famine. Did you realize that not too long ago, like a year maybe 2 years, that all of a sudden these food processing plants were catching on fire? Now that seems a little odd. Perhaps that is things getting set up for you to eat crickets, first of all. And people are buying up the lands for the farmers who can't afford to produce anymore. Weird things are going on. It's just, you know, when you start looking at things and you see weird stuff going on, just say, hey, how can that relate to what I know already is going to be happening in the future? All right, so the pale horse. Then the fifth seal was the martyrs. Remember, John was looking. We had the throne of God and then the glass crystal floor. And John could see the souls of people who had already been killed, already been martyred, underneath the altar of God, saying, how long, God, until you avenge us? And the answer was just a little while later, until all who are going to be in there have been killed, basically. All right, the sixth judgment was an earthquake. And that was an earthquake that was so big that some scientists say that it would be big enough to change the shifting of the core. I don't understand all this, but it would make the world different. Anybody try to go to Yellowstone lately? Did you know that was closed for a while? That holds the biggest volcano in the world. And then the seventh seal was silence. Oh, remember the mountain I told you about in Switzerland? Well, here's a picture of it. I found it on the internet. So the top of the mountain crashed off and fell down. Interesting. I've never known a mountain to lose its top, at least in my lifetime. So those are the seal judgments. And then there was silence in getting ready for the trumpet judgments. So we are somewhere in the midpoint now of the tribulation. So you can follow along for the rest of the things that are going to be happening down here for the second half of the tribulation as we talk about them here. All right, in Revelation 8:6, John sees seven angels, and each one has a trumpet, and they are ready to pour out the next set of judgments. Each set of judgments, the seal would be the least harmful to people and the earth. The second set, there's all kinds of natural disasters that are going to happen. And it's like God is saying, you know what? I am trying to get your attention. Is anybody listening to me? So the first trumpet judgment is hail, fire, mingled with blood. So from the sky comes hail. You know, hail is frozen water. So hail and fire and what looks like blood comes on the earth. They were thrown to the earth. So something, you know, whether it's, I don't know what it is. Something is thrown to the earth. And what it causes, a third of the trees are burned up. So one out of every three trees is burned up. Also, 100% of all the grass is burned. Okay, so that's a big deal. Because we got animals that eat grass. We need grass. We need trees because it helps to, you know, with the air and water cycle that we have. So there, do you see that? Watch the tree. Okay, I like that. So that was the first trumpet judgment. The second trumpet judgment it's described as a great burning mountain that's thrown into the sea. So this, whether it's another asteroid or meteorite or something is thrown into the ocean, and a third of the sea became blood. I'm sure it's not real blood, but it could be an algae bloom. Who knows? It's something that is going to suck the life out of these fish. And a third of all sea life died, and a third of all ships were destroyed. So think, now, remember not too long ago they had the container? I mean, you could go out wherever the ocean is, and you could see all the container ships out there because they couldn't unload them fast enough. There's a lot of ships on the sea at any time. So a third of all the ships on the ocean at this time will be destroyed. So this thing that's thrown into the sea will make the sea become blood, a third of the sea become blood, a third of the sea life will die, and a third of the ships will be destroyed. The third judgment is a great burning star falls to the earth. So a great burning star falls to the earth, and it falls into the river systems that we have. And this particular star is named Wormwood. So at least we know what that is. So what Wormwood does, being thrown into the water system, a third of all the rivers become bitter. That means that the water is polluted and they can't drink it. Also, a third of the springs of water become bitter. So you have the rivers, the springs, and then the water is contaminated, so there's no more drinking water. So we've had the trees burn up, we've had the grass burn up, we've had the sea life die, and now there's no water to drink. Unless you have bottled water, but that can last, I don't know how long, not too long. So that's the third trumpet judgment. The fourth trumpet judgment is signs in the heavens. And these signs are, something's falling here, a third of the sun is dimmed. So however, you know, at noon, you look at, don't look at the sun, but you know the sun's there. A third of it will look like it's dark, or that the sunshine will dim by a third. So the sun's dimmed, the moon is dimmed, and a third of the stars are dimmed. So something has happened. It could be maybe a volcano has exploded, sending ash up into the sky. You know, something has happened to show signs in the heavens, and these celestial objects, the sun, moon, and stars that we all are comfortable with and know, they become darkened. So God, again, is trying to get people's attention. And then the angel says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the three remaining trumpets to sound. So we've gone through trumpets 1, 2, 3, 4. So the last three, there's something extra terrible about them. That's what a woe is, something terrible. So the fifth trumpet that sounds, and happens to be woe number one, this angel comes with a key to open the bottomless pit. And the bottomless pit is like a lower level of hell. So hell has several different places, different words that are used for it, but at the very bottom, as low as you can go, is called the bottomless pit. And so this angel, he also has a name, it's Abaddon or Apollyon. So he's one of the fallen angels that Satan had taken, when Satan fell. So he unlocks the bottomless pit. And these, remember, John is a first century man trying to describe things that haven't even happened in our time yet. But he sees these locust-like creatures that crawl out of the bottomless pit, and they have scorpion stingers on them, you know, the little things that scorpions have. And they go around, and they will sting people who have not been sealed for God. So Christians who are around, it says that they will not hurt them. And they were commanded. Okay, so from the pit, the smoke arises. The smoke hordes, locusts come. They have the stingers like scorpions. They're commanded not to harm the grass or any green plant or tree. And that's usually what a locust would eat, right? You know, those giant grasshoppers are going to eat all the green vegetation. They sting only those who do not have the protecting seal of God. They may not kill, but their stingers are so bad that it inflicts a pain that you cannot get rid of for 5 months. So for 5 months, you're in torment from the stingers of these locusts. So they are really a supernatural kind of a demonic insect or creature. It's something. All we know is what John called them, locusts. So the one woe is past, and now we're ready for the second woe. Any questions yet? Okay. All right. So, what happened to number six? Trumpet number six. Oh, here's some locusts, but that's nothing. Trumpet number six, the second woe. The Euphrates River dries up. The Euphrates River right now is dried up. Time of rains come, it'll fill a little bit more. But the Euphrates River has continually been getting in more and more to a dried up place. But in this trumpet judgment, it is completely dried up. And the reason it is because there's a 200 million man army that will be coming from the east. So 200 million, that's a lot of army. And they will be coming to kill a third of the world's population. So it would be interesting to kind of, you know, start at the very beginning of the judgments and start out with 8 million people, 8 billion people, take away the people who are raptured, you know, we have a percentage of people who are Christians, and see how many people are we actually talking about, because they've been getting smaller and smaller. So yes, you may have survived the rapture. You were left behind. But that doesn't mean that you're going to survive till the end, because people are dying all over the place. So that's the second woe, is this humongous 200 million man army that brings death. There's lots of people around Israel that are huge nations that could muster that many people. All right, so what do people do about that? Do they say, God, I am sorry, please forgive me? No, they curse God. The scripture says that they worshiped demons. They made idols of gold, silver, wood, brass, and other things. they're still murdering people. They're still practicing sorcery. Sorcery becomes a big deal during the tribulation. They're still sexually immoral, and they're even robbing each other. At this point, who has a regular house anymore? So these people are still against God. But remember way back, we talked about the total darkness and men were hiding in caves because they wanted to get away from God. So they recognized God. They realized that there is a God, but they would choose to make their own idols and worship them as God. That's amazing to me. It's what we do now, but that's amazing that after all of this that goes on, they still don't turn to God. So the seventh trumpet sounds, and all the kingdoms become kingdoms of Jesus. The temple in heaven is opened and ushers in the seven bowl judgments, and those will be even worse than these were. Then we are at the midpoint of the tribulation. The witnesses who have been talking about Jesus in Jerusalem, they finally are killed. At the midpoint of the tribulation, so 3.5 years in, they're killed. They are not allowed to be buried. They have to stay in the streets dead. And the scripture says that all the earth can see them. Now, with the technology that we have now, mm-hmm. we can see things in lifetime. Is that what do you Life, yeah. Real time, that's it, what I'm looking for. So people will see at 3.5 years, these guys have died. Everybody is so excited about it that you have a celebration, Dead Witnesses Day. And it says that people send gifts and cards to one another. Isn't that sad? I am so happy that these guys are done witnessing. I'm going to have a party and give everybody gifts and cards. Except something weird happens at the 3.5 days. The breath of life comes into them. They wake up. They ascend up into heaven. And another earthquake happens in Jerusalem. And a tenth of the city falls. And 7,000 men are killed. Again, God is trying to get people's attention. Okay, here's the temple that has been rebuilt. Obviously, it's just a model on here. But the abomination of desolation happens. At 3.5 years, the Antichrist comes in and he sets himself up as God. That's the abomination. You're not God. God is God. But he says, I am God. I want all of you to worship me. So when you see, the scriptures say, when you see the abomination of desolation, run. Remember in the Gospels, it says, for those who are on the housetop, don't even go back and get your coat, just run. If you're working in the field, just run. Woe be to those who are pregnant and nursing, just run. This is the time that those people, the Jewish people, are going to be running. Because the Antichrist is going to set himself up as God, and he's going to turn his attention to the Jewish people, and he wants to destroy them. Why would the Antichrist, who is backed by Satan, of course, why would he want to destroy the Jews? Yeah.
Because the Jews are the ones that brought the gospel and also the Messiah.
Jews have the Messiah. Through the Jews, the Messiah was born. So Satan, who is empowering this Antichrist, makes him start to go after the Jews. And he also says, I want you to worship me, and I'm going to give you the mark of the emblem, the seal of my name and my number. And scripture says that either it is his number, whose numerical number, their letters can represent certain numbers. So his name, if you added it together, it comes out to 666. There's other ideas that people have. Anyway, the number of him is 666. So I want everybody to have that number. And in fact, if you don't take the number, I am not going to let you go to Amazon Fresh and scan your head. You're not going to be able to buy anything or sell anything. You basically will die because you will not be able to get anything that you need to live. So one of the places that people think that these Jews will flee to is the rock city of Petra. Remember Indiana Jones? And he rode away from Petra. So Petra is a very, very interesting place. I haven't been there, but I've watched some videos, National Geographic videos and things. It is a city that was built by Bedouins who are nomadic and travel around, but they carve this. And this building that we recognize is actually a treasury. And what is so fascinating about it is, see these little dots here? People carved this from the top down, layer by layer, until they had this little place where they called it their treasury. It's amazing. I mean, they didn't start at the bottom to create, you know, the little bowls and things up on top. They start at the top and work their way down, and then these little dots are little footholdings where the people could put their, like a, what do you call it when you, scaffolding, to make this. And behind this place, there's an amphitheater. There was a hot springs. They had running water. They had places to plant. I mean, what is so amazing to me, God says, go to the place that I have prepared for you. So all those thousands of years when those nomadic tribe was making this, they actually were making that for the Jews to go and to be protected for 3.5 years. I mean, only God could have figured that out. So Petra is most likely the place where the Jews will go and flee. The false prophet is basically the religious leader of the one world religion at this time. I know we haven't talked about it a lot, but he's like the sidekick to the Antichrist. He demands that an image is made of the Antichrist. He gives breath and speech to this image of the Antichrist. He directs people to worship the beast. Do we have any non-living things that look like they're breathing and talk and can make decisions? Up until a few years ago, we could say, that would never happen. But this girl right here in the top, this is her. They just figured out how to make expressions on an AI. It's already, the technology is there. There's nothing that has to be done for the Antichrist, you know, to come up with this new idea. We just developed it. And it's going to fit perfectly into his image, looking like he's breathing, talking, and it even says that this image will be able to see if you have the mark or not. I think that's amazing. And then, here's the mark. The mark of the beast will be on the forehead or on your hand. So that will probably be very fashionable in those days. Maybe it'll even look like a flower, you know, put 666 together. It could be a little three-petal flower. But the mark of the beast will be in the forehead or on their hands. And remember, how did God seal the 144,000? On their forehead. Mm-hmm. Then we have three angels who are going to preach the gospel. There we go. All right. The first angel is going to be going around the globe preaching the gospel. So how many times so far has God gone out of his way to share the gospel with people after the rapture? He sent 144,000 people out around the world. He's had two witnesses who probably had a live stream broadcast every day for 3.5 years to hear the gospel and to understand, to love God. And then God, right at this point, people still have the freedom to choose God. So this angel, everybody will be able to hear around the world. So God is so loving. It's amazing. Very soon, let me get to angel number two. Angel number two is telling the world, encircling the world again, that Babylon has fallen. And we'll talk about that next week, what Babylon is and what it was. And then the third angel goes around and tells the entire world, don't take the mark of the beast. And it comes down to the loving kindness, the long suffering of God is going to end. Because if you take the mark of the beast, you will not be saved, no matter what you do. That's the bottom line. So God has been faithful to share the gospel with people. Plus, all the Bibles that will be left behind. I mean, God to me is just amazing that he loves us so much and loves his people so much that he goes out of his way to make sure that people have the opportunity to accept him. So the regular tribulation is done. The great tribulation now begins. All right, so tonight, what did we understand? First of all, we saw that the first half of the tribulation timeline, we looked at that. We looked at the seven trumpet judgments and the three woes. And most of those, did you catch that most of them were environmental kind of things? Just cracks me up. You know, and people, let's save the world. You ain't going to save the world. I'm just telling you. The sin of people who love darkness. We saw the 144,000 and the two witnesses. We looked at the Antichrist in the temple, which made the abomination of desolation. And we saw that the Jews had to run to the rock city of Petra. If it is, it doesn't say that Petra is, but it seems like the most likely candidate. And Petra is actually in Jordan, so they would run. I forget how many, it's 100 and something, maybe, I can't say, but somewhere around 100 miles away. And we saw God's last offer of salvation. So here's the takeaway from it. God controls the heavens. Do you agree with that? That's a good thing. So, because God controls the heavens, I can give God complete control over my life. I can't do that as much as I love my husband. I can't give him complete control over my life because he's a sinner like I am. But I can give complete control over my life to Jesus because he loves me way more than anybody else could. And the verse that says that is Isaiah 45:12. I have made the earth and created man on it. My hands have stretched out the heavens. Isn't that cool? Stretched out the heavens. God's big. He's in control. I can give him control of my life. The second takeaway is God is truthful. The things that he has told me in his word, in the Bible, I can trust. He's not a liar like so many people are, like false gods would be. He is truthful. So I can trust God. And when I read God's word, those are true words. I can base my life upon them. And the verse is Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So whatever God says, he is going to do it, and I can trust him. He's truthful. And the third takeaway is God has warned us. He's gone out of his way to tell us that the world is going a bad way. So I need to know and listen to God's directions. And especially in the end times now where we are getting ready, we're prepping to have this tribulation start, we need to know what we should be doing. This is not the time to go away from God. This is the time to draw closer to him, to understand his word, to understand how much he loves us, and to pass that on to somebody else who maybe has never heard it, or maybe they need to hear it another time. So the verse that goes with that is Isaiah 28:26. For God instructs him in right judgment, and his God teaches him. So God teaches us. If we're willing to listen, God teaches us. So God controls the heavens, God is truthful, and God warns us. So next time is the weird chapters time. The woman who's pregnant with stars in her hair, the war and the beast. We're going to look at the seven bowls, and the bowl judgments are, I would say amazing, but amazing is something good. They're terrible, the worst word than terrible. We're going to look at the mystery of Babylon, because Babylon is a key factor in the end times. And we're going to see Babylon go bye-bye. So the memory verse for tonight is, my times are in your hands. Just think of that. My times are in God's hands. I can trust him. He's truthful. I am safe. So has anybody have any questions? Yes. It doesn't say messianic, but I would assume it is, because that's the whole point of of Jesus dying. Yeah. We know for sure that they are Jews, and for some, I think it's interesting that they know what their lineage is. Because remember, for a long time, the Jews, because they were so dispersed, they didn't know what tribe they're from. But at this point, either there is a massive genealogy going on, or God knows where everybody belongs, that each tribe has 12,000. Yeah, I would say messianic. Yeah. Any other questions? Is it because it's warm or? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are easy to understand, Lord, because you tell us plainly what's going on. And I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity just to learn a little bit more each time, Father. We go through this, there's just more and more things that we see how wonderful you are and how much you love people. You sent your son into the world, Lord, and you made him as a sin sacrifice for us so that we didn't have to die. All we have to do is accept you as our Lord and Savior. And then, God, you use us and change us, and you have prepared a beautiful place for us. In 2 weeks, we're going to look at heaven and, oh my gosh, the glory and the wonderful things that are there. Father, you're so good. We pray, God, that your words would go deep into our hearts. Father, protect us for the rest of the evening, and thank you that we were able to get together. We ask these things in your name. Amen. All right. Thank you so much.
listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up.